the people before they went into the promised land. He gave them this charge in Deuteronomy 31 and verse 6. He said, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Not terrified of them. Of whom? Whoever them is to you. All right? Don't be afraid of them. Don't be terrified of them. For it is the Lord your God who goeth with you, and he will never leave you nor forsake you. Amen? Did you find some hope in that? Is Jesus ever going to leave you in the middle of this mess? Amen. No, he will not. You know what he will do? He'll give you the strength and the faith to pass through it. Amen? And so God's moving in that way. And so a stronger faith is what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be looking in the Scripture through God's Word, how He works in people's lives in a real, deep, personal way and builds their faith. Amen? Amen. And I pray that as we get through this, that your faith will be built today. Father, Father, church, people, that we, all of us, would come together with this deep desire to know Him better, to walk closer with Him.
Amen.
And to trust Him. I mean, to really, really trust God. Because there's some things I don't trust in this world. I don't know about you guys, but I really don't trust our government.
No.
I do not. As much as I like Trump and all the other folks up there, I don't trust them, okay? Because they're the government. All right? And that's just the way I am. I'm that way. I don't trust scientists. I really don't. Scientists said that we came out of a big mistake. Okay, whoops, two rocks clapped together, you know, bam, and then everything happened. That you were actually a monkey a million gazillion years ago, and now you're a human being. They have lied to us from the beginning that science was science, right? I don't believe them. What I do believe is God and His Word. Amen? I believe that God spoke to Moses about the people going into uncertain areas, into the promised land, that there were giants out there, and that he wasn't going to go with them, but he told them to be cowardly and scared, right? No, that isn't. He said, be strong and be courageous. All right? Trust God. He's going to go with you. He's going to see you through this thing. He's the one that's going to be in you and on you and holding you and helping you through this time. And not only in the times back then, but the times right now.
Amen.
Right? We need to have that faith in Him.
Yeah.
Right? So a stronger faith is what we'll be talking about today. And so let me go to the Lord in prayer real quick and just ask His blessing on this little bit of Scriptures. As quick as we can, these Scriptures that we're going to talk about today. And I pray that they would move on you and that you would hear what the Spirit has to say to the church today. Lord, Father, I love you.
Amen.
Oh, I praise you, Lord God, because you are good.
Yes.
You are good. You're faithful. Oh, in your mercy, it was brand new this morning. And Jesus, I want to worship you with the fullness of my heart, with all of my life. Lord, thank you for those many and great, wonderful blessings that you have given us, the joy we have in just knowing you.
Yes.
And Father, coming even now into that, I pray for whoever's going to hear this sermon, wherever they're at, Lord, that your word would go out and it would bring back the folks who are on the fringe. Lord, that would bring closer those people and help us to really believe, to really believe in your word and in your power. And I thank you for those things in Jesus' high and mighty name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. A few years ago, we went through a Bible study called The Truth Project. And one thing that the guy said, do you remember that fellow's name that did The Truth Project? What
Dill.
Was this? Huh?
Dill.
Yeah, Dill. Dude, I got a Dill. No, I got a Dill, dude. I forget his name, but he's a great teacher. He taught really well. And the thing is called The Truth Project. And one thing that he said in that six-week study, which actually lasted like a year for us, we went through it really slow with all of there's an M word that starts with
methodically.
That's it, methodically. And so anyhow, we went through it that way. But one thing that stuck with me and has stuck with me through all these years, if we, speaking out of the church, if we believe what we say we believe is real. All right, did you hear that? If we, the church, really believe what we say we believe,
right.
If we believe that that was absolutely real, how different things would be.
Amen.
Amen? Amen. If we had faith, not just with our lips, but faith with our action, right? It would change things.
Right.
Now, think about that statement that he made and say that we say that we believe in God and that he's able to do great things, right? Who says that? Who believes it? You can say amen. Do you really believe that God is able to do great things, right?
Yeah.
That God parted the sea. That was a pretty great thing, right? That he gave manna, right? When they were in the wilderness for 40 years, that the Hebrew people walked in the wilderness for 40 years and their sandals never wore out. I believe that.
Amen.
I believe it. And I believe I serve the same God today that they were serving then.
Amen.
Amen. The same God, he still sits in heaven, that same God that met all of their needs, that cured all of their diseases, that met them in the middle of their hurt, the same God that judged sin for sin, and the same God that saved those that were in sin out of sin. Amen. I believe
Amen.
In that God. I believe in him. I believe in what he says. And I believe that the things that are impossible with man are possible with God.
Amen.
And I believe that. I have faith in that. I will not be shaken from that truth in God's Word. Right now, if we truly believe that nothing is impossible with God, then why do we fear?
That's right.
Why do we fear? Do you really believe what the Bible says? Because if you really believe what the Bible says, would we be in this great fear? Now, I'm not talking about a respect. I'm not talking about your personal faith. I'm talking about the church in general across the world.
Yeah.
Right? Across the world. If this virus wasn't happening, I would still be preaching the same message today. Mm-hmm. All right? Because I believe the church of God needs to come back to the God of the Bible.
Yeah.
Amen? We need to come back and understand that he is the great I am.
Amen.
Right? That he is the Alpha and he is the Omega. He knows the beginning from the end and all the little parts in between. He knows it all. And that he loves you right now.
Right.
Amen? Right now. Right in the middle of this. And that he is not allowing anything to separate you from that great love.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And that's where our faith needs to be. That's where we need to be at. As we're thinking about this today, and I was going through it in my mind and through the Bible and stuff like that, I was just praying, God, what words can I say? What would you have me to say to the church this week? All right. And as I was praying that, this thought, came to me, which is wonderful, where Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. Amen? I said, all right, God, you said that to me? Where did I find that? Where's that at? And so I start searching through the Bible, and I find the account, because I think anything that's in the Bible is not a story. It's an account. All right? This is what actually happened. And this is from the book of Mark. So if you'll open up to Mark, and go to chapter 9. And when you get there, say amen. Amen? Because I want y'all to know that this is not the word of Curtis. All right? This is the word of the Lord. Amen? And so since it's the word of the Lord, we can rely on it. It does not change. Now let me set the scene for you. Here's the scene. We're going to come to the very beginning of the race. All right? Just the night before Jesus was on the mount, and he was transformed before Peter, James, and John, right? And he was transformed, and they saw this great thing. Those three guys saw that great thing. And the next morning, they were coming down from the mountain. And as they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus saw his disciples that were left there surrounded by a group of people. That's where we're at. That's where this account takes place. So in Mark chapter 9, starting in 14... 9:14. And when he, meaning Jesus, came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld Jesus, were greatly amazed, and running to him and saluted him. All right, now, catch the scene, just came down from the mountain, right? Peter, John, James, and John are with him. And as Jesus comes off of the mountain and into the village where they're at, he notices that this mass of people are around his disciples. And the scribes, the smarty pants. Okay, the well-educated people.
Oh, excuse me. Have I got a question for you?
Right? And so they were there, and they were asking him. They were surrounding the disciples and badgering them, is what I see. And when I read the accounts of the story, this was a serious thing. And like any good shepherd, he comes and says, listen, why are you guys picking on my boys? All right? These are my children. These are mine. All right, let's read on so you'll know what I'm talking about. And straightway, when all the people saw him, the crowd that was surrounding his disciples, they saw him and they saluted him. That doesn't mean that they gave one of these. They said, Jesus, 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 you're down from the praise God. Let me come talk to you. And so they saluted him. And he asked the scribes, Jesus asked the scribes, what question ye with them? So Jesus comes to the scribes, to the teachers, and he says, hey, listen, smarty pants. Why are you talking to my boys? All right, what question do you have for them? I'm here. You want to ask some questions? Ask me some questions. I got some answers for you. All right, I love the way that Jesus, he came here with boldness. Don't think of this as some chicken kind of question. He was serious with these guys. Right. Listen, you scribes, what you got to ask? You're asking the wrong people. Ask me. What you asking my disciples for? Talk to me. How many times do we need to quit asking other people when we need to ask Jesus what the question, what's the answer to the question? And when he was there, one of the multitude answered him and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And whithersoever he taketh him, he teareth him, he foams and he gnashes with his teeth, and he pineth away. And I asked thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. All right, so this here gives you the reason why everybody was around the disciples. All right, they were there. This man brought his son. He says, listen, I know that you guys have a deep relationship with the Lord. I know that you know Jesus Christ personally. You're his disciples. I heard about Jesus feeding the 4,000 and feeding the 5,000. That happened in chapter 6, right? I know that Jesus did some great things, that he's been healing a lot of people. And I don't know where Jesus is right now, but I know where you guys are, the church, the body of Christ at that time. I know where you're his student. Let me ask you, can you do this thing? I have this deep hurt for somebody I love, and I can't do anything. The scribes can't help. The Pharisees can't help. I brought him to all other places. They can't help. Disciples of Jesus, can you help me? And I'm sure that they tried. You know, because Jesus had already told them that you can cast out demons and stuff like that. He sent out the 12 before, and he sent out the 24 before, or the 70 before, and gave them power to cast out demons. And so this man, this father of this son, was coming to him with this deep, burning concern, this great compassion, and saying, listen, can you help my boy? And they tried, because he said they couldn't do it. And how would he know they couldn't do it if they didn't try? Right? So they had laid hands on him and they had prayed over him. But this demon wasn't coming out. And so finally, Jesus shows up on the scene. Amen? I like this because he wasn't one moment too early and he wasn't one moment too late.
That's right.
He showed up right on time, right at this spot, and he came right to the problem. He didn't beat around the bush to get to it. He came right to the core of it and said, listen, folks, here's who you need to talk to. And this man with faith, with a heart of compassion, with a deep desire to see his needs met, came right to the foot of Jesus. He says, listen, Jesus, this is the problem. This is my son. Here's what's happening. And Jesus answered the guy, all right? He didn't answer everybody. He answered the guy that brought his son. And he said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? And how long shall I suffer you? Right? Think about this. Now, you, Father, you say you believe, but there's something lacking in your faith.
Amen.
There's something lacking in your faith. How long am I going to hang out with you guys? You know, I'm going to the cross not many days from now. All right? Just check this out. I'm going to die on the cross. I'm not going to be with you forever. This whole generation, y'all are going to see it. You're going to know it. 3 days later, I'm coming from the grave. But right now, how long is the body of God going to be with you in that time? How long shall I be with you? And how long do I need to put up with you, suffer you? All right? Faithless generation, how long am I going to put up with you? And then he says the most sweetest thing. Bring him to me. All right? Bring him. Bring your problem to me, Jesus says. Bring your son that's being tormented by the demon to me. Bring your concerns about the virus to me. Amen. Bring your concern about your loved ones to me. Bring your concern about your health problems to me.
Amen.
Don't bring them to the government. Don't bring them to the doctors. Don't bring them to the Sadducees. Don't bring them to the religious people. Bring them to Jesus, because He's the one with the answer.
Amen.
He's the one with the answer.
Amen.
Bring him to me. And so they brought him, the young man, unto Jesus. And when he, meaning Jesus, saw him, straight away the spirit tear at him, and he fell to the ground, and he wallowed, and he foamed. All right. Just before, all right, catch this. Just before the miracle happens, what happened to the boy? It got worse, right? It got worse. They brought this boy, and all of a sudden, he's foaming at the mouth, wallowing on the ground. He's tearing, this demon is tearing at him on all sides. Do you think that quick as you pray, it's going to get better? Sometimes no. Sometimes it gets worse.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you die. But when you die, what happens?
You get better.
That's right.
Amen. If you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, sometimes you die in your faith. But you know what? When you die, you get better.
Amen.
Amen. There's a new heaven, a new earth. There's a new body for this old broken one.
Amen.
And I believe the Bible.
Amen.
Amen. I believe Jesus Christ. All right, so am I going to die?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm dying. I'm going to. George, are you going to die?
Amen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Everybody here, guess what? You're going to die. All right? Whether it be this virus or whether it be a car wreck. Whether it be a brain aneurysm, well, whether it be a staph infection, you get a splinter and it goes crazy and gets you blood poisoning. I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know when it's going to happen, but I guarantee you this, it will happen.
Yeah.
Right. And if you are in Jesus Christ, guess what? You are new.
Amen.
You're in paradise with the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah.
Have comfort in that. Have faith in that. So they brought this young man to Jesus, and he's howling, and or he's wailing, he's foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked him, how long is it ago since this come unto him? In other words, how long has he been doing this? And the man said, since he was a child, since he was small, you know, since he was old enough. I mean, this thing has been happening to him for a long time, and oftentimes it cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Church, what would happen? Come on. What would happen if we really brought our burden to the Lord like
Amen.
This?
Amen. Right.
It would be healed, right?
Yes.
All right. If we really brought it to Jesus and said, God, all of this has been happening to me ever since I was a little child. And I can't get over it. If you can, would you have compassion on me? Oh, what happens when you ask for the compassion of God? Oh, He gives it abundantly. He gives it abundantly. More than you want. Amen? More than you want. More than you can imagine the compassion of God. And Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. All right, this is what got me. This is what made me get into this week. If we can believe, can you believe that God is able?
Hallelujah.
Amen? Yeah. Now, if you can you believe that?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I mean, can you believe it enough to serve the hurting?
Yeah.
But they have the flu. They have the virus. Can you believe it enough to love them anyhow?
Amen.
Oh, but I'm so scared. Can you believe it enough to get over your fear to come to where God needs you to be?
That's right.
Amen? Amen. Do you believe that God is still on the throne and prayer changes things? Do you really, really believe these things? All right. And Straight away, the Father cried out. And I think this is where most of the church needs to be today, because I know I am from time to time. The Father cried out straight away. The Father cried out. Now this crying means He came with great compassion, with tears. And He's in front of the God who created all things, and in Him all things exist. And He's standing in the very presence of the Most High God. And He's crying, He's weeping over His child that has this demon. And He said, with tears, "Lord, I believe. Oh, help my unbelief." Catch what He said.
Amen.
Catch that. Catch the confession of this man. "Father, I believe. I believe that You're able to save my soul and keep me. I believe that. I believe that. I believe, God, that you're able, from the Bible, that You're able to touch the crippled man and heal him. Oh, I believe that. Oh, I believe that, God, when a man needed to speak, that You took a little bit of Your spit and You touched his tongue and he was able to talk. Father, I believe through the Word of God that You were able to stick Your fingers in a man's ear and he can hear. I read it. I believe it." How about for you personally, though? You believe these things, but is it real to you?
That's it.
That's it. Where's your faith in these things?
That's it.
Do you believe that God is able to do these things? See, without belief, God's not able to do a lot of stuff. We'll get into that in a minute. Jesus went to his own country. Right? And we're going to talk about that here in a minute. I don't want to get the horse in front of the cart, or the cart in front of the horse. I don't want to get things backwards too much. He said, if you believe, and he said, help my unbelief. And then Jesus saw that the people were running together, and he rebuked that foul spirit, saying, "Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him." Those are great words. Amen. Praise God. When the man brought the child to Jesus, and he laid him at the foot of the Christ who created all things, and he said, help my unbelief, he confessed that he wasn't quite there yet. God spoke into the situation. He used it, and he called out that deaf and dumb spirit like he knew him personally, and he said, get out of him and never come back. Praise God. Amen. I believe that same God right there is the same God here today.
Yeah.
All right. I believe that if we come and we honestly confess our unbelief, God will give us faith to believe the things we can't understand.
Amen.
Right? I believe that. I have faith in that. I have faith in that because not just because it's in the Word, but I saw it. I've seen it in people's lives. Amen. I know that these things are real. I've never seen a demon-possessed man come out of it. But I know in me all wickedness dwells.
That's right.
Amen. Mm-hmm. And God spoke into Curtis Fitz. Right? He spoke into me and things changed.
Yeah.
Right?
Amen.
I got not only do I have the Word, but I got my personal testimony.
Amen.
Amen. I am not who I used to be. Glory to God. I have been set free by the power and the love and the mercy of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I think that this thing that the world is going through right now, if the church, now not everybody, not the unbelievers, I'm not calling for them, but if the church, those who are called by His name, would humble themselves and pray.
Amen.
All right? And Jesus is going to get to that here in this passage right here.
Amen.
Because later He talks to His disciples. And when He was coming to the house, His disciples, verse 28, His disciples asked Him privately, why could not we... Excuse me. Well, excuse me. I burped in my hand. I'm going to wipe it with the thing. I'm going to wipe my mouth and a little bit behind my ears just in case it got back there. And so anyhow... I'm not trying to make light of it. I'm just, this is how you do it in real life, right? This is what you do. And so, and is that, why could we not cast out the demon? Why couldn't we do it? Now, check out what Jesus said. Anybody here try to do stuff they were not able to do? Amen? Have you ever went to the Lord and said, I know, Jesus, I got faith that You gave me the power to do this, but I still can't do it. Oh, how I need help from You. Jesus answered it, and this he said, this kind can come forth by nothing but prayer and fasting.
That's right.
What's going to cure this virus in the world?
Prayer.
Say it louder like you believe it.
Prayer and fasting.
Fasting. Prayer and fasting. And as I was going through this scripture, and I was looking at the chaos that's going in the world, and the fear that's going in the world, and the uncertainty that's going in the world, I had to ask myself, have I really prayed? Have I really asked God to intervene in this? Well, yeah, I've probably given a quick mealy mouth prayer. Right? Who here's with me? You know, just a quick prayer. Oh, God, heal him. Right? And we say that, right? But have you been serious about your prayer? Have you been serious enough about your prayer to fast? How many here have fasted 1 hour over this virus? Amen? I haven't. Every time I get hungry, my fat body says, feed me, and guess what my fat body gets? Food. Right? Every time that I should be fasting and asking God, heal this country, heal this world, cure this virus, you know what I do? I watch YouTube. Right? I get on my device, and I go like this. I play my video game. What's one of those video games that they do? Mario? No, that's past. Well, it's a new one. Somebody knows a new one.
Angry Birds.
Angry Birds. I play Angry Birds, right? Or, wait, I saw the commercial of one where you do the Candy Land. The Candy Crush. All right, obviously I don't play any of those because I don't even know how they're called. But see, so many people in the world, Christians, born-again believers in Jesus Christ, those folks, instead of prayer and fasting, what are they doing? I'm playing games. You said it, Mike. You said it. We're playing games.
Amen.
We're playing games. When the God of the answer to the problem is waiting in heaven for the body of Christ to ask for healing, and we're playing stupid games. We're waiting for the government. The government will help us. You know what we need? $6 trillion in debt. That's what we need. Boy, just send me the money. Send me the money. Oh, we'll be better when they send me the money. Right? And that's where our hope's at, right? Do you know what? I looked it up because I have no idea what a trillion is. Does anybody know how much a trillion is? It's a lot of money. All right? Here's a great example that I heard. And I don't know because I can't count to a trillion. I can barely get over 20. Right? And if I get over 20, I've got to start using my fingers and toes again. But then I get lost because I'm wearing shoes or something, right? But anyhow, a trillion of something, a trillion pennies. If you were to take one penny and stack it on top of another penny, and you did that for a trillion pennies, you would have enough pennies stacked to go from here to the moon, back to the earth, and halfway back to the moon. That's 1 trillion. 1 trillion. $6 trillion to cure a virus that only God can cure. Amen?
Amen.
How in the world are you going to pay back $6 trillion? You can't. There's not enough gold in the planet to do that. There's not enough. $6 trillion, wrap your mind around that. $6 trillion, you can stack pennies to Saturn and back. That's not going to fix it.
$6 trillion prayers.
Amen. How about 6 trillion prayers? Amen. Praise God. You want to change something? Six trillion prayers. Amen. Thank you, George. That's what's going to change it. Amen. The government's not going to change it. Quarantining yourself and living in a plastic bubble in your mama's basement is not going to cure this thing.
Amen.
Right? Being afraid. Oh, I'm so afraid. I'm going to hide behind my American. Here, I'm safe. Right? Now, don't get me wrong. That'll help for a little while, but that's not going to cure the problem. The problem is we need to be reaching to the heavenlies.
That's right.
Amen.
The problem is the church of Jesus Christ needs to have really believe what we say we believe is real.
That's right.
Right? If we, the body of Christ, will stop sniveling and whining and waiting for help to come somewhere else, if we, the body of Christ, would humbly come before the Lord, confess my sin.
Amen.
I ain't going to confess your sin. Your sin I have nothing to do with. But there's a rottenness that lives within me I need to get right.
Amen.
The Bible says confess your sin. to the statutes and the commandments of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Right. Yes.
If we would get back to there,
yeah.
I believe God will hear from heaven. I believe God will heal this land.
Amen.
Yes, he will. He said he would.
He said he would. Amen, George. He said he would. I believe that. The question is does the church believe that?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we'll come together. We're going to sing a few groovy hymns. We'll get our electric guitars and our smoke lights out and spinning, what was that, the disco balls. We'll get our disco ball out there. We're going to get, I don't know, somebody name one of them bubblegum shakers that's out there on the radio. I can't think of one. Praise God, I can't think of one. And those 7-Eleven singers.
Would you like to have a survey? Thank you very much.
But those songs that really have no depth.
Right.
Right.
Amen.
There you go. The skinny little things that they pray. Oh, anyhow, I'm going to jump off that box and get back to the Word.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
Because the Lord wants us to pray.
That's
with
right.
Fasting. When have we got real with Jesus Christ? I mean real with God. That's the first point.
Bless God. Praise Him.
Amen. So, in Matthew 13, flip over there real quick. Matthew 13, another thing's happening with Jesus. I like it. Things are happening with Jesus, right? And he's been talking about the sower and talking about the parables and all those things. But as you come over to verse 53, and it came to pass, are you there yet, Matthew 13, 53? And it came to pass after he had taught those parables, right? Matthew 13, 53. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogues. Inasmuch as that... I love this. I do. I love that. And they were astonished and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother, who's called Mary, and his brother and James, and how do you say that, Josie?
Joseph.
Joseph. And Simeon and Judas. And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man these things? And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. And he did not many mighty works there because of what?
Their
unbelief, their lack of faith. Why didn't Jesus do things in his hometown? They didn't believe him. They didn't believe him. I truly believe that this virus has the potential to get every single human being on the earth sick. And there could be thousands, maybe millions of people die from it. But why would they die? Because of their unbelief.
Right, amen.
Because we got Dr. Jesus on our side.
Amen.
We got Dr. Jesus on our side.
Yeah.
But are we leaning into Dr. Jesus? Now, if the scientists say, hey, I've got a shot for you, right? I got the new vaccine, man. You take the vaccine, you'll be cured. No worries. They said that about the old flu. That worked, right? The scariest words on this planet are this. I'm the government and I'm here to help.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
Anytime the government that shows up and says, hey, I'm the government, I'm here to help.
Yeah.
Run away. All right? Run away because the government's never here to help you.
Amen.
The government's always here to steal and destroy because they're run by the governing power of the world, which is Satan.
Right.
Amen? Amen. Now, all right? No. Now, so let's get this straight. Where's our help come from?
Jesus.
He has a name. What's his name?
Jesus.
Say it like you know him.
Jesus.
Amen. Right there. Jesus is the one that's able to do this. Only Jesus. And God alone is only. He's the only one that's going to help us out of this. Amen. No doctor, no scientist, and no amount of money is going to pull this virus out of this world. But I got the God who sits on the throne of heaven. Amen? And he says in his word, if I pray and I fast and I believe that he'll do it, he'll stretch his hand down out of heaven and he'll crush this like a little worm. I believe that. I believe it enough that this next week I'm going to fast and I'm going to pray. By the grace of God, He allowed me to do some work with my hands. You know, and say, what do you mean work with your hands? Well, I still need to make a living. And with the virus, not many people are coming to church. No, that's beside the point. God has given me an ability with these two things right here. I'm a floor installer by trade. By the grace of God, I'm able to go out and do some things and put jack in my pocket, right? And so it's a good thing, right? So this week I have some jobs that are set up. But while I'm on my knees installing floors, guess what else I'm going to be doing? I'm going to be praying.
Amen.
You know? And when my stomach growls,
we're poor. We're poor.
Right? That's what your stomach says when you're full of food. And says, we're poor as it goes over the gravy and the mashed potatoes. Right? But as your stomach's growling, you know what that does? What it ought to do? It should be wake up and pray. Wake up and pray. Church, wake up! Pray. All right? Keep your flesh under control. Fast. When was the last time that you fasted without a doctor's order? It's been a while ago, wait a minute, right? Oh, but if the doctor said, George, you need to fast because we're going to shove a scope.
Yeah.
You know?
Poor George.
You would fast because the doctor told you to. But when Dr. Jesus says this kind only comes out through prayer and fasting, will you believe that? Now, I can't fast because I'm too fat. No, I can't fast because there's some medical problem. All right, so you can't fast from food. Okay, all right. And I know that fasting in the Bible was from food. How can you fast from the internet? All right. Every time you want to get on the internet, instead of doing that, shut your tablet or shut your phone or shut the thing that causes that. Reach over to the wall where your Ethernet comes in. Take your pocket knife and cut that thing. Amen? This is radical. I'm going to cut it off. I'm going to let it lay there and the sparks are coming out like in Star Trek. Right? I'm going to get rid of it for a while. You know what I'm going to do instead? I'm going to go to the closet and I'm going to seek the Lord. I'm going to go to the place where God is. And some of you are saying, I know because my wife, her job right now, because they're not allowing her back on campus. She works over at a college not far from here. And so, but they're not allowing anybody on there. So she's got to have the internet to work, right? But there are times that she's on the internet, and I love you, honey, but you ain't working, right? Okay? And those times, and me and my wife, we talked about this yesterday pretty much in depth, because I've been speaking in such a way that I may have been hurting somebody's faith, all right? I've been kind of putting them down. Well, you ain't worshiping because you don't believe Jesus. If that's what you think, first let me ask your forgiveness. That was not what was intended, okay? What was intended was this. Believe God enough to do what God says.
Amen.
All right? Just believe God enough to do what God says. And so Jesus, as he's talking this, he says, listen, he didn't do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. All right, but the church is supposed to walk by faith and not by sight, correct? That's what it tells us from 2 Corinthians, tells us that in Hebrews, right? There are several different places that the Word of God says, we who believe in God, we walk by faith and not by sight. See, if I only make my decisions out of the fear of the bug, out of the fear of something, and that's how I make my decisions. I'm only making my decisions by the physical examples of things that are going on. But the righteous, they live by faith. And faith is what? Like the evidence of right? Right. Amen. There is Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Here, let's flip over there because as y'all were saying it, it kind of shook my confidence in what it really said. Yeah, it didn't quite sound right. Yeah. I mean, I think that the whole of it was there, but the completeness of it. Amen. Faith is the, say it again loud enough, faith is the evidence of things hoped for and the things unseen. All right, so anyhow, faith isn't what we think it is. It is stuff that's hoped for, but we don't see it. Right? If you see it, it doesn't take faith.
Right.
right? If I have it in my face, I don't have to believe it. I see it. But I believe in this God that I've never seen. I believe in Jesus Christ. I've never laid eyes on Him. I've never laid eyes on the Spirit of God. I've never seen Him. Oh, but I know who He is because of what He does. Isn't that what Jesus told Nick at night? Remember, Nicodemus. Right, He told Nick at night the very same thing. He said, listen, how can a man be born again? Jesus said, listen, let me tell you about how the Spirit moves. You know, you don't know where it comes from, but you can tell the evidence as it passes. The trees move, things like that. Well, that's the kind of faith that we need. Not faith that we see, but faith we believe. Right? Mm-hmm. And so when we believe that what we believe is real, when we really believe that, something changes. Here you go. There's two things that are running through my mind right now. One is Penny Henny. The sky is falling. The sky is falling.
Yeah.
Penny Henny. Right. That old story goes. Deb and I, we looked it up on the internet this week when we should have been praying and fasting. And so we looked that up. We found out what it said. It's a pretty neat story. It kind of goes with what's going on today. Or I can tell you a story that Spurgeon told a long time ago. Which would you like to hear? You want to hear
Spurgeon?
Spurgeon. Oh, praise God. And so, this thing about Spurgeon came to my mind. All right, and it was this week when I was in prayer, and in my office I have a window that looks out into some little wooded place right behind us, and I saw some birds that were sitting there. And the birds, they were doing their stuff. They would be on the branch, they'd fly down the ground, they'd fly back up to the earth. And you know, this whole CNN's going on, all humans are panicking, running around like anything. The sky is falling, the sky is falling. But these birds, they didn't care. They had no concern about any of that stuff. And it brought back to my mind this story that I heard that Spurgeon supposedly told way back when. There were two birds sitting on a limb, and they were looking at human race. And these people in the human race were running around to and fro, rushing, pushing, shoving, all panicking and all worried about all these kind of things. And one of the sparrows said to the other sparrow, what's wrong with these people? Why are they so freaking out? What's wrong? Of course, he didn't use freaking out. I'm bringing this up to our time, you know. And so why are they so worried about things? And the other sparrow said to him, they must not have a God who cares for them like our God cares for us.
That's right.
We're so worried about stuff. We're so worried about these things. We're running around buying all the toilet paper we can get our hands on. Right? And I don't understand why we're buying toilet paper for this particular virus. It doesn't even give you diarrhea. Why do you need all the toilet paper? You can wrap yourself in toilet paper and still get the virus. Okay, back to the place. All right. The other story about Henny Penny or the little chick. There's a small chick walking through the woods, and an acorn falls from the tree and hits it on the head. My God! And the chick freaks out. The sky is falling. The sky is falling. The sky is falling. And she's running around the tree, and she goes back to the farm where she's from, and she finds Henny Penny, and Henny Penny said, "Calm down, little chick. What's wrong?" And the chick says, "The sky is falling. It fell and hit me on the head. The sky is falling." And so Henny Penny gets all freaked out too. And they're both running around the farmyard. "The sky is falling. The sky is falling. What are we going to do?" Then they ran across Ducky Lucky. Right? And Ducky Lucky, and they said, Ducky Lucky said, "What's wrong with you guys? What's going on? Why the rush? Why the fuss?" And they said, "The sky is falling. The little chick felt it laying on his head. The sky is falling. We're all going to die. There's a virus outside. We're all going to die." And they're running around and running around. And they said, "I'm going to look for somebody to tell them." They ran into Foxy Loxy. Foxy Loxy said, "Dudes, what's going on?" "The sky is falling," they said. "The sky is falling. We got to find somebody to tell." Foxy Loxy says, "I know who to go. I know where to go. Follow me." And so they all go to Foxy Loxy's den. And he says, "The answer's right in there. Enter in." They all enter into Foxy Loxy's den, and none return. Right? Isn't that what's going on?
Yeah.
We're listening to this. The sky is falling. The sky is falling. We're all going to die. The sky is falling. Oh, government, give us $6 trillion. Pray. We enter into this thing. There ain't no coming out.
No.
Amen. There ain't no coming out. And it's already passed. So, be prepared to be a fox's dinner. Right? Because it's happened. It's happened. We've gone over the threshold. But God. I hope that Henny Penny and Ducky Lucky and the little chick knew the Lord Jesus Christ. Because they died shortly after that. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, so those are the good, heartwarming children's stories that we used to have. Right?
Right.
Where did the good stories go? Jesus talks about the fowls of the air. Right? He says, behold the fowls of the air in Matthew 6:26. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap or gather. They don't harvest, they don't reap. Neither do they gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Mm-hmm. If the God of heaven takes care of the two sparrows, there were several birds on the branch. Mm-hmm. All right, and it was weird because they were all getting along together. There's the cardinal, that's a redbird. Then the robin, it was a robin. All right, it was robin. There's several sparrows, robin. There's a blue jay that was out there, you know. And they were flying in their branches, and each one, they were all kind of gathered together. They weren't hiding in their nest afraid of the virus. They were gathered together. And they were flying off, and they were landing on the ground. They were picking up this thing or that thing. They were eating, feasting on the abundance of the Lord. What's wrong with this, church? Aren't you worth more than a sparrow?
Yeah.
Don't you think God, not that God doesn't love the sparrows, He does. He feeds them, He tends to them. But they're not rushing around. They're not worried about all this garbage that we're so worried
Amen.
About.
Amen.
They got faith.
Yeah.
Amen? Mm-hmm. Oh, if we had faith that of a sparrow,
yeah.
How different things would be.
Amen.
Amen. You know, that was the first sermon I ever preached in the church here in Caledonia, back when we were in the other place. If we had faith like a sparrow, then the church left. And so, that's what happened. If we had faith like a sparrow, we'd leave. And so, anyhow, the Word of God teaches us in Hebrews, in chapter 10, verses 20 through 25. Flip back over there real quick. Because this, I think it's important for our times that we're living in. Hebrews 10, 20. All right, let's go to 10, 19. Say amen when you get there.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. What do we need?
Boldness.
Starts with B and ends in oldness.
Boldness.
All right? We need boldness, and we need to go to where our answers are going to be met. Having boldness to go into the holiest place through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. That's how we get there, through Jesus Christ. By the new and living way, which is the church, that is through Jesus Christ, the new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart.
Amen.
All right?
Amen.
What are we supposed to do? Let us draw. Now, it didn't say, let us separate and stay in our basements. Let us draw near with a true heart, with a real living faith. Let us draw near with it, and a full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water.
Amen.
All right? There's a couple things that I'm going to kind of twist this a little out of context here. Please don't hate me for it. Now, the washing of the water of the Word is what he's talking about. But we need to make this relevant for today. What's the thing that's freaking out the church more than anything else? Virus. Right? What do they tell you to do? Wash your hands. Okay? Wash your hands. Stay a safe distance. You know? But live a life. Live your life.
Amen.
Draw near to God, right? Live your life. Draw near to God. Keep yourself clean. Wash your hands. Don't put your hands on your face. If you do put your hands on your face, wash your face, right? Wash the membranes, all that stuff. Keep some of these things nearby, right? Because it takes a little bit of time, but don't panic over these things.
Amen.
All right? Wash with the pure water. Let us hold fast to our profession of faith without wavering. Who do you believe? What's your profession of faith?
Jesus.
Jesus, amen. But, oh, if the government will get involved, if scientists will get involved, that's where our faith is laying today. My faith is in the Mayo Clinic, right? My faith is in the mustard jar or whatever. Mayo, mustard, ketchup, all the condiments. You can have faith in all that. But God says, have your faith in Jesus Christ without wavering.
Amen.
All right? Without wavering.
Right.
All right? Without wavering. Let us hold fast to the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. Who's faithful?
Jesus.
God. He is faithful. He promised. He's faithful. I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but I've said it several times. If you didn't catch it the first four times I said it, I'll say it again. I'll say it again. You cannot trust the government.
No.
All right? You can't.
Trust anybody.
All right, you can't trust. You trust Jesus Christ. Have your faith in Him, and don't waver from that faith. Is God able?
Yes.
You've got to make up your mind. Is God able or is He not? I believe He is. All right, and let us consider one another to provoke one another unto love and to good works.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
All right, did it say, let us separate from one another, let us not really communicate with one another, let's love the way the world, and let's not be close enough that we can provoke one another to good works. No, that was the opposite of what this said. The church in America is doing the opposite of what the Bible says.
Yes. Uh-huh.
All right, now I'm not trying to lessen the realness of what's going on, because it is real what's going on. But it's not something we're supposed to be afraid of.
Right?
And it says in verse 25, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let me ask you a real quick question. Do you see the day approaching?
Yes.
Well, I do. I see the day approaching like a freight train right around a corner. The caution lines have come down and the ding, 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 ding is happening. Gave this a lot of thought. Now, you know that the mark of the beast is one of the true signs of the end times.
Yeah.
Right? Suppose next year they come up with a vaccine for this horrible virus. Right? And they say, the only way that you can get this virus, and we got to make, or this inoculation, and the only way that we can make sure you get this inoculation, we got to put this little chip here or here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right? Now, how many folks that are Christian, for the sake of their health, will go get a chip so they can have vaccinations? You say, oh no. How many folks are hiding in their basement today? Because the government told them. Amen.
Yeah.
But there are a lot. Amen. I can't say that you guys are, because you're here. Right? And I'm not saying that the folks that are out there are doing that on purpose. They've been deceived by the deceiver, which is the government. All right? They've been deceived by this thing. And I'm not saying that it isn't real. The devil is real. His lies are real. And there's a real chance you might die. Well, no, there's a real certainty you're going to die. Sometime, it may not be in this, but you're not going to live forever. Right? This ain't that old show back when it was in the 80s, The Highlander. Does anyone remember that? Yeah. Anyhow, it was a real sick show. Yeah. Anyhow. But anyhow, those folks, they were the immortals. They lived forever unless you whacked off their head. And so, coming back to this, all right, forsaking not the assembly of each other as you see the day approaching. Up until this generation, there was not the technology, right, for everybody to be observed around the world. The technology wasn't here. And there wasn't a fear-mongering spirit among Christians like there are today. The world, I won't just say Christians, the world. The world is primed for somebody to come up and say, I have the answer for it all. But to get the answer of it all, because with this $6 trillion worth of debt, that there's not enough gold in the whole world to settle, you're going to need a leader to come up.
Right. There he is.
You're going to have somebody that has the answer to all these problems.
Yeah.
Oh, he's going to look like a fine young man, too. He's going to be riding on a white stallion, and he's going to have a sash. All right? Now, when you go to the Revelation, it says that he has a bow, right? And many of us think of a bow and an arrow. But the word in Hebrew is T-O-X-O-B. And it means a symbol cloth. Like Miss America kind of thing. One of those sashes. All right? And this man's going to come up, and he's going to have this sash. He's going to have this peaceful way about him.
Mm-hmm.
Trust me. I'm the government. I'm here to help. Right? All you got to do, take this chip, we'll give you the vaccine.
Right, right. Uh-huh.
All we got to do is take this chip and you'll have plenty of toilet paper. Let you know how stupid people are right now.
Yeah, I know.
Right?
Sure.
Take this chip and you'll be able to go to the government supply grocery store and we'll give you everything you need. Mm-hmm. All the clean water, all the canned beans. Take this chip and see how easy we are to be plucked up right now.
Right, right.
All right? I'm not saying that this is that time, but I'm saying that I see the day approaching where something like that is very... I really and truly didn't believe that the world would be so easily scared.
Right, right.
And so quickly.
Delusion, yeah.
By an illusion.
Delusion.
Delusion. Yeah, delusion.
Delusion.
Right? And this fear, this deception, this delusion. Now, don't get me wrong, there's some, in every lie, there's a grain of truth.
Right. Oh, yeah.
All right? Is there a COVID-19 virus?
Yes.
Yes, there is. Are people dying from it?
Mm.
Yes, there are. I think that the average is like 1 point something, right? That means 98 point something don't die from
right.
it.
Right.
But if we tell the whole world to hide in your basement,
right, right,
stay away, make sure you wear your mask.
Uh-huh.
Luke, I'm your father. Right? Wear your safety mask. Make sure you wash your hands. Let me see how many stop going to church.
Mm-hmm.
Stop going to church. Stop gathering together.
But leave those abortion clinics open.
Right.
Yeah.
And we'll take the money that's supposed to help the people and we'll give a large portion of that to the people who are murdering babies.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
Oh, you can't go to the doctor without an appointment, but you can go to the abortion clinic on any time and they'll rip the baby right out of your womb.
Yeah. Terrible.
Okay. Terrible. I'm not saying that this is that time. But I can see how it would easily happen. Okay? And it doesn't say when it, he says, when you see those days, forsake not the assembly of ourselves together as the matter of some is, but exhorting one another as ye see the day approaching. All right? I see the day approaching.
Amen.
All right? I see it. I see the day approaching where we're gathered in a place like this right here, and we're worshiping the Lord, I'm preaching the Word, and y'all are hearing, you're on your edge of your seat, and you're, oh yeah, praise God, I want to hear it, and all of a sudden, the National Guard, ordered by Cuomo, come in here and put us all in chains and drag us out to one of these concentration camps built by FEMA.
Yeah.
I can see that happening.
Yeah. Yeah.
I see that happening. Even so, Lord Jesus, come.
Amen.
Woo-hoo. That means we're like 3.5 years. Man, I can't wait. Now, am I excited for the torment, for the hurting, and for the tribulation? No. But I am excited to see Jesus coming in the house.
Amen.
Amen. I'm excited to hear that trumpet blow. I'm excited for that.
Amen.
My wife asked me, what if they put up roadblocks and you're not allowed to go to church? They're going to have to kill me on roadblock.
Yeah. I got a horse. I can come.
You got a horse. Yeah. I have all wheel drive. But no, I mean, really, what extent am I willing not to separate myself from the body of Christ?
Mm-hmm.
Until they drag me out of here
Amen.
With chains, I'll be right here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen?
You won't be alone.
No, I won't. Even if it's just me and the Lord. You know? Even if it's just me and the Lord. If you know, I'm driving down the road and they call in one of these hellfire missiles from 5 miles away because one of those dangerous Christians are driving on the road. All right. Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God. They will kill me with my Bible in my lap.
Bless God.
Amen.
Amen.
So, I don't know if that's what's going to happen. But I do know I'm going to hold fast to the faith.
Amen.
I do know I'm going to draw near, not separate myself.
Amen.
I know that he that is faithful will not forsake me.
Amen.
All right?
Amen. Praise God.
Now,
yeah.
Whatever else happens, I don't care.
Yeah.
Right? Send me home early. When I was going to school, I loved it when they kicked me out of school. I did. I would misbehave just so they would suspend me. Right? We're going to throw you out of school. Yes! Man, that's what I was going for. Right? How many more windows do I got to break? Can I get the whole year off? Right? Oh, anyhow. Folks, I love you. And I pray that this message would encourage you. Right? Not discourage you, but would encourage you that God's in control.
Amen.
He is sitting on the throne in heaven.
Amen.
And he's waiting for his people.
Amen.
Amen. To fast and pray.
Yeah.
And if we're fasting and praying, like Fat Albert said, hey, it's Fat Albert, right? Come and get me. It's okay. Anyhow, I love you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you, Lord God, for your goodness, for your grace.
Yes.
I pray, Lord Jesus, even now that by faith, we believe you. Our faith is in you, Lord God. In you and you alone. There's nothing in this world that will constrain us, Father. Help us to walk with you in the fullness and the newness of life. And Lord, we thank you. We praise you for those things. In Jesus' high and mighty name. Amen.
When fear knocks on the door.
Yeah.
Send